There's a reason why people don't want to read it. That's because it's scary. But let's read Job because God put it in the Bible. And there's a reason why God wants you to read it, because it's scary. There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and turned away from eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. His sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone on his own day. He sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone, Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where do you come from?" Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, "Well, from going to and fro in the midst of the earth, walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him, not in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, "Well, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, about his house, all about everything that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands. The substance is increased in the land. Yes, but put forth your hand now. Touch all that he has. He will curse you to the face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has, it's in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, the asses were feeding beside them, and all of a sudden the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yes, and they have slain all your servants with the edge of the sword. I'm the only one escaped to tell you." And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and your servants, and consumed them. And I'm the only one escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, fell upon the camels, have carried them all away. Yes, and they've slain your servants with the edge of the sword. I'm the only one left alone to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and it smote the 4 corners of the house and fell upon the young men. They are all dead. And I'm the only one escaped to tell you." Then Job arose. He rent his clothing. He shaved his head. Fell down upon the ground. And he worshiped God. And he said these words, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. This particular book in the Bible, it's a long book. It's going to take us 40-some chapters to get to the good part. It's one miserable chapter after another miserable chapter. And we're going to study each one. This is the great blessing. But this is what everyone fears, is what happened to him. And as you examine it, you'll see that you don't want this to happen to you. That's why no one wants to read it. Certainly not meditate on it. Because what if God would allow that to happen to me? What if all of a sudden, I mean, just out of nowhere, the Sabaeans come, the Chaldeans, the wind, the storm, the rain, the flood. What if all of a sudden in my life it's going along okay, and then something interrupts it to destroy all the blessing that God has given me over the years because I was faithful and true? That's a fear that everybody buries. Every once in a while we express it, but we're even afraid. We don't even want to think it. We certainly don't want to say it out loud. If we did, we would say something like, "God, don't let that happen to me. I'm not Job. I don't want that to happen to me. What if I lose my health, my wealth, my relationships? And what if I have friends that think it's because I sinned? And they think that all these troubles have come upon me because I said I served God, but maybe God had a different idea. Or maybe God accepted it, but he wasn't strong enough to help me. Or maybe he was strong enough, but didn't love me enough. Or maybe he isn't a good God because he gave me over to the devil." These fears and hundreds of others, these thoughts, these dark thoughts, are something we don't like to think on, because if you think on it, it might happen. Even to say it out loud, some of us are afraid. It's like a horseshoe. It's like superstition. Don't even say it. Don't even think it. And some of you have thought it. And now you're scared because I thought it. What if God is no good? Or what if he's good but he's weak? Or what if he's good but he isn't good all the time? These are thoughts that people have. Has anybody here ever had any of those kind of thoughts? Maybe there isn't really a God. Maybe it doesn't even exist. It's just a figment of my imagination. What if I was religious like Job every single day? One of his sons, he had seven sons, 7 days, every day had a feast in their house. Eldest brother, next one, next one, next one, so on. And all the daughters, 3 daughters, lovely girls, very nice young men. What if God should turn them over to the devil? And the devil would say something like he said, "Yes, yes, she serves you. Yes, he loves you, but only because you have blessed them and protected them. But the minute that you touch their health, they'll curse you. The minute you touch their wealth, they'll curse you. The minute you take away their livelihood, they'll curse you. They'll turn from you. The only reason they serve you is because you've blessed them. Let them go. They'll curse you. They don't care about you. They don't serve you for any other reason but for selfish reasons. Take one of those things away and you'll see." What if God said, "Go ahead, test my servant, Jeff Flood. Test him. Test Monty Mitchell. Touch his relationships. Touch his health. Touch his wealth. See if he'll stay with you. Touch my brother John. Just touch one part. See if he doesn't fall apart. I tell you, that's a fear that some of us have. How many know that some of us are stronger than others? Or stupider? You know, what if that happened? I want to think about that. But it still comes anyway. And now that I'm going to read from Job every single week, you'll probably get the message. So it'll wear on you, because after a while those thoughts will come to you in the middle of the night. You'll wake up bolt upright in bed. I shouldn't have played that tape. Oh my God, what happened to Job could happen to me. It's a perfect picture of Israel. This is Israel's story. I hope that's a relief to y'all, unless you happen to be Jewish. Ay, gavaltz. I hope you're not Jewish. I hope no one here is Jewish. Of course, I know a few of you are. Too bad. That's the curse. God has turned you over to the devil. Why? You're a bad people. The Jewish people started out nice. They were going to obey God, do everything Moses said. But then they killed Jesus. You're not laughing. It's a kind of a fear that people have, is what happens to God's people if they turn? Or maybe he turns on them, or maybe he forgets, or maybe he won't come through, or maybe the devil wants them. Can God let the righteous suffer and do nothing? It's a fear we have. When we get in trouble, we cry out, God! And he doesn't seem to be listening. He's doing toast or something. I'll be right there. And no, God, help! You know, and he's making some toast. You know, wait. I got my toast here. And he's busy doing something, maybe with China or something, and you're over here crying out. God, remember your scripture. Write early. Look what time it is. I cried out an hour and a half ago, a week ago, a month ago. Where are you? How many know that sometimes God is far away? And then you wonder, is he no good, or could it be me? Maybe it's him. Maybe it's me. Maybe there isn't a God at all, and there's just a devil. How many believe more in the devil than you do in God? You know, I'm not sure if I believe in God, but I know the devil's real. There's a lot of people that fear the devil. Call him by whatever name. They're not sure always. These are fears that we have, and we want to deal with them. If you could overcome all your fears, the devil could never touch you. Job had a fear. He feared that the thing he feared would come upon him. That's something he later confesses. We'll get to it later. But fear is huge. I tell you, if you can't conquer fear, if you can't overcome fear, it can eat you up, paralyze you, destroy you. You'll lay there in bed worrying. You won't sleep. You got to conquer fear. How many know that fear is a tough one? It's paralytic. It paralyzes you. It'll eat you up. It'll just destroy you. It'll undermine you. You know, you were once confident when you were young, but all of a sudden things begin to happen and you begin to get scared, afraid. You try to protect yourself, and all your protections, your props, your insurance doesn't work. Well, at least I have this friend. But what if your friends are the very ones attacking you? What if you have friends like Job does that come to and say, brother, I know what your problem is. You're really not on the right side with God. All he's trying to do is point out your sin. Brother, if you just confess, if you just confess, this is your own fault. If you just confess it, he'll take off the pressure. How many have thought that? How many have thought that? Yes, you all have thought it. Everybody's thought that. You know, I know why this is happening, because I'm sinning. And then your problem is, which one? You know, it's like, oh my God, I'm sure I've sinned. I don't know which one, though. God, cover them all. And you know, you have this sense that when you say that, you're really not being specific. And it's kind of just, you're just trying to get out of it. And God is going to nail you till you get the right one. Oh, my God, I don't know which one it is. All right, I'll just go through them all. Lust, anger, bitterness, jealousy. You know, you just try to do that. But that doesn't help. How many have discovered you can't figure God out? God, what is it you're trying to teach me here? Come on, I'm listening. You got my attention. What are you teaching me? Why am I in this hospital? Why am I broke? Why are the bill collectors everywhere? Why am I being audited? Why are my children not turning out? What's wrong with my husband? Why does my wife emasculate me? Isn't that fun? I mean, those are great questions. Who hath the answer? Everybody here has fears. Everybody, 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 everybody. Some are afraid of dying. Others are afraid of living. Some are afraid of failure. Others of success. Fears are everywhere. Some of being sick, others of being well. What if? What if the Sabaeans come today? What if Russia rises again? What if China hates us? What if there really is war? I mean, the papers and books are everywhere today to scare you. Every television show, everything is, every newspaper. We don't even get the paper. Well, Peggy sometimes sneaks it in, but I don't want to hear it. Because it's all bad news. It's all garbage, brainwash. I like being here in church. Good people. I feel secure and safe with people that love me. Amen. Friends. We've got friends here. Amen. Amen. Don't you feel confident right here? Here are people that remember you. When you go into an old folk home, they'll be there. When you're in trouble, you know, someone will recall. Someone. But we have this fear in us that maybe things aren't going to work out the way I planned. Maybe God's plan is true for somebody, but maybe not me. Maybe God is good, but I don't seem to be communicating with him. My prayers are going to the ceiling and coming back. Has anybody ever felt like that? God, I think I'm being sincere. All right, I'll get quiet. God, I got softer there. All right, I'll get noisy. God! All right. I'll try to be persistent. God, 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 God. Yeah. And you can try every trick in the book, but he doesn't come through. Has anybody discovered that? You just try everything. You try everything. I mean, I've done this. I'm not just talking some theory. I've laid on the carpet. Actually, get on my face, you know, because that sounds spiritual. Get on my face and beat on the floor. God, I'm telling you, speak. Come through. You know, he doesn't do anything. He never does. He won't negotiate. I gave it my best. Right in the church we used to go to, Eric. I laid right there in the little pastoral office we used to have there. It's gone now. But I remember laying there thinking, this ain't working. I'm not getting through. I've been a phony and a fake all my life. But I'm really serious right now. And that didn't mean zip to God. He still didn't do anything. Anybody discovered these fears, questions, doubts? Well, Job, I tell you, it's not so bad if you're poor and if you're always sick and if you never had a relationship that worked, because then you don't have much hope. What hurts is if you got a good relationship, you might lose it. If you have some good health, something might happen. Or if you have something built up, a little bit of cash, a little bit of equity, you know, a little inheritance to pass on. And all of a sudden it gets eaten away and whittled away. Fears come upon us because we got all that stuff and I don't want to lose it. I've built it up carefully over the years. I still have, I've never been to a hospital. I won't. I just won't do it. And so, I've made it so far, but the fear is that it's going to get you tomorrow. And it's going to take you. Maybe the money you built up, somehow it'll get eaten away a little bit. Maybe you'll end up with nothing if you get a big hospital bill or something. You might end up with nothing. Sooner or later, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. My God, let's stay middle class. What if my relationships, what if this divorce is just the first of several? What if this present one doesn't work? I mean, there are fears everywhere. Does anybody have any of these thoughts or fears? I know you do. You have to if you're normal. Well, Job got it in spades. I mean, it just kept coming. One guy came in and said, everything's been lost over here. Another guy came in from the south. Everything's lost in the south. Everything's lost in the east. Everything's lost in the west. This guy lost everything in one day. I mean, all his troubles came on him in one day. That's too much. That's too much. That's too much. He had nothing left. Well, he had one thing left. His nagging wife. God, couldn't you at least have taken her? And here's her attitude. Here's her attitude. Job, what are you doing? I'm praising God, giving God the glory. Curse God and die. Get this thing over with. I've lost everything. What's wrong with you? Honey, we've got to give the glory to God. Glory to God's garbage. Let's get on with truth. Curse God and die. Get this thing over with. I am sick and tired of being with you. And there he is. He was rich, now he's poor. He was healthy, now he's got boils all over his body. And all his friends are telling him and he's wrong. He's got nothing left. His sons and daughters are dead. There's no hope. I tell you, this scares people. Because what if God is arbitrary? What if he just suddenly turns me over to the devil someday? What if he doesn't protect me? I've been righteous. I've been true. I've been a good Christian, or at least I tried. I tried my best. What if he doesn't come through? He's done it to others. It could be me next. I tell you, don't you love this kind of preaching? Because it brings out the worst in us. It brings out, if you could face all your fears and then laugh, you'd be free. But we can't. In theory, we can. But in practice, we're scared. God isn't as real as we want him to be. He's not as handy. He's not as handy as I was hoping he'd be. God, when I call, you answer like you said, huh? Pastor so-and-so gets you to come. I know I'm not as high as he is, but could you not show a little bit of, I don't, how perfect do I have to be to get you? How many have noticed God is really holds out? Because I'm wanting now. I'm now. Now. I don't have time for tomorrow. You got to pay this bill today. I'm sick today. I've lost my relationship right now. Help! How many know that God is just real slow? I think he's like the old Negro in the South who used to walk real slow. Yes, sir. Joe, where are you? I's a coming. And he's walking real slow. How many know he really wasn't that anxious to do whatever it is he was supposed to do? So I think God's like that. He doesn't want to come through. I know he's supposed to, but he doesn't always do it. How's it coming? Is that you, Jim, calling? I love it. That's a way of rebelling against that system of saying, no, I got some dignity too. Well, maybe God feels like you don't really have a right to call on him. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing God? Can you hear God speaking to you? Just raise your hand if you can hear. Checking it out. God is speaking to you. And here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. I can hear him clearly. Here's what he's saying. Trust me. Trust me. And he's using your name. Leslie, trust me. Don't doubt me. Don't be afraid of me. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. And I'm scared. I'm nervous. I'm worried. The devil's got me. And he's ruined. It's coming in quick. One problem after another. Have you ever noticed that problems come in groups? You ever notice that? That in your life, somehow one problem happens and all of a sudden, oh my God, there's another one and there's another one. Ah, I can't even keep up. And you just fall apart. You go crazy. Have any of you ever gone crazy? There's little question in my mind that in the row you're sitting in, there is somebody either has gone crazy or will soon. It just, that's the way it is. Oh my God, I hope that doesn't happen to me. But it could. It could. It could happen. So you have to strengthen yourself ahead of time. Get a lot of scriptures. Get 10 scriptures, put them in your pocket. Get a bunch of them, put them on the fridge. Put them on the mirror in the bedroom. Just get them up. In case something happens, you got them there on the visor. You gotta have them. The bumper sticker on the, you gotta have them. You just gotta have little reminders. Hey, everything's all right. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Because when all hell breaks loose, all of a sudden I've lost all my faith. I'll lose my religion. I don't believe now in marriage. I don't believe now in medicine. I don't believe in anything because everything's falling apart and nothing's working. And it's going to make me mad. It's getting me to the point of mad. And Mrs. Job, just right off the bat, she got mad. If she could have sworn, she would have sworn. Maybe she did. It's not in the Bible. But I know, I swear, I know it's not in the Bible, but I do it. When you get me mad enough, I'll swear. And that helps. I feel a lot better, but I know God's probably not cool with it. But I'm mad at him too, so too bad. That's why I'm swearing. I'm letting him know he's not as... It's not what I expected him to be, I gave him a chance. He didn't come. Has anybody ever put God to the test like that? Actually, it's you that's being tested, but I like to test God. I say, God, this is your fault, you made me. And then you let that devil get to me like that. I don't trust you anymore. And God is just saying, no, Judy, trust me. Trust me. Peggy, trust me. That is amazing. I can hear that for others. I can just hear that. It's so clear. So clear. I could be a good Job's friend. Brother, now, if you just trust God. When you're going through hell, John, like when you called the other week, it didn't bother me at all that you were going through all that. I was just going like this. Thank God that's not me. Thank God. Too bad for that brother. But thank God it's not me. I'll tell you, there's something great about other people getting in trouble. Even if it's coming to you, thank God I wasn't first. maybe I can watch you. I almost want it to come sometimes to people to kind of get up God's quota. He's going to have to beat someone that day and punish somebody. Let it be you. Y'all don't see the humor of this. It's mean, I know, but it brings out your worst side when something goes wrong. Because it's like, God, aren't you the guy that's supposed to fix that? Fix! Fix! And I know it's probably something due to me, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm barely making it as it is. I don't want to hear that I have one more problem. How many know that when you got problems, you just don't want one more? Well, Job is an awful story. Because here's a guy that had all the wealth in the world, and he didn't take it for granted. He's fasting and praying and doing everything right. He's serving God. And everybody admires him. Everybody thinks, well, the guy is great. I mean, he's rich, and he's also spiritual. Doing everything right. And that's why that thought came to the devil that said, I know why he's serving you. I know why Christians follow you. I know why Jewish people love you. It's because you always protect them. You never let the Muslims get them. You never let the bad guys get them. Sure, they'll curse, they'll praise you and thank you. But take away their health. Take away their wealth. Take away their relationships. Give them friends that accuse them, and they'll turn on you. That's the devil. That's the devil. And that's a thought of my own. I even have that thought. Have you not thought this ever? Well, what if that would happen to me? What would I do? Look at this pathetic person I'm looking at right here. What if that's me? Has that ever gotten to you? What if my child were like that? What if what if that happened to me? I tell you, it's something you don't want to think about. Well, just where's the toast? I don't want to think about that. And you just get distracted and stay busy. You know, a lot of people, they just stay busy all the time, so they don't think about this stuff. But you can thank God that I, being your pastor, I'm bringing this to you so that you don't escape it. Because I want you to face your fears. Now, I want you to say these words, showing how much faith you have, that I'm on the right track, is thank you, God, for showing me all my fears. I'm ready to face them. A few of you were a little hesitant on that. We probably should repeat that. I'm ready to face them. Head on. Spare not. Am I going too far? Because until you face your fears, you don't realize what the real issue is. It's not you. It's him. It isn't how strong you are, because you ain't. It's how strong God is. Is he a liar? Is he good? Is he faithful? Is he true? Did you say he was and now you didn't mean it? Do you realize that Job's troubles all came upon him because he prayed? I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer. God, if there be any wicked way. I mean, if you see anything, I can't see anything, but if you see anything, no matter what it takes, let's get rid of it today. You ever prayed a prayer like that? I want to say kind of a show of hands. Ooh. Ooh. Oh. You can take it back. You can take it back. Cancel. God has a cancellation clause. He has a clause in there that at any time you can cancel. Cancel! You can just cancel it. And send back this, postcard and so on and so forth. And within 3 or 4 days, he'll have it canceled. Have you ever trusted in those things? And they don't ever take you off their list. There is no cancellation. It's not important, but there's so many examples when I thought, okay, am I not free from that yet? I thought I got my name off that list. Why do you keep sending me this stuff? Not seeing the humor of this. So face all your fears. Here's the deal. It's bigger than you think. God is not testing Job to see if he has any sin. That's what his friends thought. Job, all you got to do is admit that the reason all this hell has come upon you is because you got a hidden sin somewhere. Get it, buddy. Confess it, and God will set you free. You know it's in there. We'll even give some hints. Have you ever been a friend like that? Sweetheart, I know what's going on. I know it's tough right now, but I'll tell you what. I know you don't want to hear this, but it's your own sin. It's your own fault. Don't you love that kind of teaching? Thank you for coming over. I didn't realize it was my own wickedness and sinfulness. As you're faithfully pointing out, I deeply appreciate. No, we hate those kind of friends. Why is it always me? Why is it always my fault? When is it God's fault? After all, he's bigger than the devil. Why didn't he stop him? What pleasure does he get in my sickness? What pleasure does he get in killing my people? What pleasure does he get in robbing me? Why is he allowing this? What, I don't see any good that can come from this. You ever thought that? If God is good, then why do the righteous suffer? I can see why the wicked would suffer, but why the righteous? How can God cause a righteous man to suffer? How can he allow the devil to get at the guy and take away his security? What if there's a difference between punishment for destruction and chastening for your good? What if there's a difference between punishment and chastening? What if punishment is to destroy you because you did bad, but chastening is to help you so that you become better? How many know that's a good theology? You just distinguish that, well, God wouldn't punish me for doing evil. He's probably just chastening for my good. That's a pleasant thought. That's a better thought. But I'm going to tell you something. That's not it. I agree with that, but that's not it. God isn't after him to chasten him for his good. I know he is. I know he's chastening for his good, but that's not the issue. Here's the issue. You got to get the issue, because if you don't understand this, you'll never see what's going on in this book. God is perfecting Job's faith. Job is not faithless like his friends say. All you've probably sinned and you don't have any faith in God. Not the issue. Job, if you just confess what the sin you've done, God would let you off. Not the issue. God is blessed by Job. He even said it in the first chapter. We just read it. He said, "Have you seen anyone as perfect as my servant? Have you seen anyone who's as perfect as my servant? Have you regarded my servant Job? Have you ever seen anyone like this?" This is the Hebrew word. Ta, right there. Tav. T. Now, this word is then followed by an M. Ta. Mi. Ta. Mim. Okay. Ta. Mim means perfect. Perfect. This particular word, there's other words. This word means whole or pure, or it means nothing fractured inside of it. It's complete. Now, this word, if God means that Job is perfect, he may not be thinking of what we're thinking of when he says perfect. How many know that in the Bible, the word perfect has different meanings? Does anybody know that? And so when you look at the word tamim, you've got to ask yourself, I wonder if this is the same word kalil. Because kalil means not just tamim, perfect, it means finished, different. So maybe there's a difference between spiritual perfection, psychological perfection, and physical perfection. Maybe there are differences that we're not familiar with because we don't know the original language. How God, when he said perfect, how could Job be perfect? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So Job can't be perfect, but yet God says he is. But that's just an English word. The English word perfect is really not the Jewish word. The Jewish word is just tamim. Have you considered my servant Job? He's tamim. He's not perfect. Not in the sense that you were thinking. The English word, perfect, perfect, what does perfect mean? How many here are perfect? They've never done anything wrong. Well, that's not what it means. All it means is you've done everything completely right. You don't make any mistake. There's no sin in you. God's not imputing to you any kind of sin. Well, so God's not talking about that. He just said he's perfect. But what he isn't saying is there's a different sense in which he might be perfect. What if perfect has different parts to it? What if there's perfect and then there's perfect and then there's perfect? For example, in the Greek language, there's the word dikaios. 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 That's a certain kind of imputed righteousness, but it's not actual. It's just imputed because I have faith in the blood of Jesus. So that's a kind of a faith perfect. But then there's another word, hagios. Hagios is another word for perfect or righteous or holy. And this one is not in my spirit, man. Dikaios, how I'm declared righteous. This one is actual. I'm really righteous, but not in my behavior, only in my will. In other words, I really want to do the will of God. But then there's another word, doxa. Okay? Doxa means actual righteousness, but it means doing it, not just wanting to do it, but actually being just like God. So you can see these are all perfect, but one is outward and one is psychological and one is spiritual inward. Do you see that? You don't have to know what I wrote. All you have to realize is that when God uses a word, he doesn't play with it. He has something in mind. Well, the Jewish language is the same. Khalil is like the last one, doxa. It means a perfect outward. So what if God is perfecting or testing or trying your faith? And when your faith is fully tested, fully tried. So the beginning is tamim. This man, tamim, was doing everything you're supposed to do. In other words, like a lot of you. You're not killing anyone. Has anybody been killing this morning? No. Most of you haven't done that. And you come to church. That's good. Now, maybe you're here legalistically. Maybe you're not here wholeheartedly. Well, okay, you need to be perfected. But God isn't after you to destroy you. He's only testing you so that he can show you there's more yet to go. What's wrong with this new baby right here? What's wrong with the baby? Nothing. This baby is perfect, right? You certainly would say so. This baby is a perfect baby, but it's not yet matured. And as the baby grows older, that baby will want not to stay 2 or 6 or 8, but will want to grow up and do what she's seen other people doing, just as you and I want to be like Christ in every way when we grow up spiritually all the way. But how many know I'm perfect right now at my baby stage? Or at my young man, young woman stage? Or at my mature father or mother stage? I'm perfect in all three stages at my age. You're a perfect 2-year-old, a perfect teenager, and a perfect adult. Now, teenagers in their perfection are weird, right? I mean, they just are weird. Because they're no longer children, but they're not yet adults. But there's nothing wrong with them. They're just doing what they're doing because that's what you are when you're that. So you can't criticize them for not being an adult. The fact that every teenager wants to drive at 12 or 15 or something, that's not unusual. They want to, you know, they want to be like their adults. Hey, I want to do that. I want to have independence. I don't want to be told what to do my whole life, you know, and they're growing into it, but they think they're ready long before the parent thinks they're ready. You cannot take the car tonight. Why? It's because you have no experience. You don't know what you're doing. I am very good. And so, you know, teenagers just think, I'm never going to have an accident. I'm not going to hurt the car. I don't want to drive the junky car that you want me to drive. I want to drive the nice car. My friends will laugh at me if I drive this other junky car. You are driving the junky car. Dad, they have BMWs. They have, you know, Mercedes-Benz at TCU. I don't want to drive a Chevy. But honey, it's a big Chevy. And if somebody hits you, it won't hurt you. But it's ugly, Dad. I know, but we don't care about ugly. We're into character. We're developing your character right now. Dad, people even want to buy me a car. Poor Kirsten. I mean, you know, she was over here at TCU, and her friends were saying, my dad gave me this car. I'm sure he'll give you one too. Because your parents are poor. He's a pastor. He doesn't have anything. But let us help you out. And they were so ashamed of her car for her. You poor thing. But she did bang up the car. And thank God she wasn't driving a BMW. It was great. Because she banged it up. Because that's the way kids are. And I told all my kids that. You'll bang it up. I won't. Dad, I won't. I watched the others. You're gonna bang it up. But that's just part of being a teenager. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why we give them the junky car. And get character into them. Because after they banged it up, then they said, well, you know what? You were right. Thank God. You know, it's only going to cost $3,000 rather than 15 or 20. Amen? So you see, I was good as a parent. I was smart. I was way ahead. They're perfect at their age, but there's still a perfection that God is trying to test your faith, and he will allow all kinds to happen, all things to happen, because you prayed that. God, whatever it takes. If you didn't pray that, it's not going to happen. God's not just going to do it to you because he's mean. He's actually answering your prayer and his own plan and purpose for you. He's saying, John, will you trust me? Let me take you all the way. Do you want to go? Yeah. That's the way we answer when we're newborn. Yeah, sure, let's go all the way. Till it happens. Oh, my God. Whoa, what? What? What's happening here? You're learning God. I hate him. Can I go back? Yeah, you can return. No, you can. You can go back. But you know what? Most of you don't really want to go back. Once you've tasted of the goodness of God, you don't want to go back. You can go back. God's not stopping you. He isn't forcing you, you know, barring the door. God will let you go. Go ahead. Go back into the world. And that's good to know that he'll let me go back. God, I quit. I'm over. I don't like you. I don't believe in you anymore. When I was 4, I was gave my life to you, but I'm taking it back now at 12. Some kids, you know, I'll tell you an example, is if you're 16 and you've made a big sin, it's hard for you to go to church after that because you don't want to be a hypocrite. And then if you make another one, you repeat it. Sometimes a teenager will actually do the same sin again. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, that is, I can't believe it. You know, you did the same thing. And so, you know, at a certain point, they don't want to go to church. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to pray. Why? Because they don't want to get into that. It's like, you know, for this period of my life, I'm just going to forget God. I'm not totally forgetting him. He's on the shelf. I'm just going to move as far as I can away from God because he doesn't come through like my parents say he does. Like the pastor and the church teach. Not, he didn't help me. I cried out to him. I really did. I did. And he didn't help me. I mean, you know that a lot of teenagers, they give up their faith. They just give it up. Now, they may not throw it away entirely, but they postpone it for a number of years till they're about 30, have 2 or 3 kids. Then they begin to think, well, maybe there's something to it. I'll give it one more shot. Could be good for the kids anyway. And so a lot of them come back trying God out one more time. I mean, God's testing your faith. He's testing your faith. See if the guy works. What good is it to have a theology that doesn't work? There should be a God who's real, not just a fake God or a concept or an idea or something in the future or heaven. Let's get him on the earth. I mean, that Jesus was the incarnation of the living God on earth. He didn't have to come down. He could have just shouted something down from heaven. Hey, okay, down there. You know, he didn't. Came down and said, I love you. And to prove it, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to identify with you. I'm going to get right into your problems and help you personally work them out. Well, that's the kind of God I want. I want a God that will actually give me happiness and peace and safety right here. How many would like a God like that? But in theory, it's different than in fact, because in fact, all kinds of hellish things happen to us. Part of it's my fault, and part of it is the world, and God won't fix it. But never said in the world you have no trouble. He always said in the world you're going to have trouble. He never said the world is the way I want it to be. Job was the way he wanted him to be, but he wasn't yet perfected. He was perfect in one sense, but not perfect in another sense. Maybe he was legalistic, and by the way, Job was. Maybe he was spiritual, and by the way, Job was. And maybe he was just external, and by the way, Job was. Job had all of it in him, just like you do. You have all kinds of things in you. You have a faith side. You have a phony, fake side. You have a external, legalistic, you know, looking like you're a Christian when you're really not side. You have all those sides. You have a licentious side. A few of you, when you get mad at God, you go back into license. You know who you are. You drop right back. It's God, I'm going to punish you for about 3 weeks now for what you just... I fasted the other day. You didn't come through. All right, I'm going to show you something. How many have that side? You really didn't do that because he didn't come through. You really did it because you wanted to do it. You were just mad that you'd postponed it for a number of years, thinking God might come through when he didn't. How many know that God loves you perfectly? He's not doing anything to harm you. This test is according to your own prayer, consent. I want it. I'm not sneaking up on you and just getting you. Yeah, I'll show them here. No, that's not God. God loves you. God loved Job. And when it's all over, he's lost his children forever. No, not true. His children aren't lost. Where are they? You got to think about that. My God, but he lost his children. Yes, he lost his children apparently. Only in this world. But not forever. Those children loved the Lord, feared God. They weren't faking it. And Job said, my prayers for my family work. That's why he fell on his face the first day. He fell on his face and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now she was already, Mrs. Job was not really cool. She was still hurt over everything. She was devastated. God, I hate this man. She was already facing reality. She didn't want to hear about God, blessed be God. She wanted to hear about, I've lost my sons. I've lost my daughters. I've lost everything. And now my husband's a religious nut. He's still praising God. I hate this garbage. We just lost everything, and he's got boils on his body. He looks ugly. I hate him, and I hate everything about it. Well, God never tested Mrs. Job. She didn't go through any tests. He never rebuked her. He never punished her. When it was all over, he restored everything to Job, gave him new children of the same wife. And it said that his daughters were the fairest in the land. They were beautiful. I'll tell you, you have moments in your life when you say the stuff out of your mouth. So what? God is a forgiving Father. He knows Mrs. Job. He's not upset with her. That's a normal way to talk. That's a normal way to talk. If you're in the flesh, she was in the flesh. She just said what she felt. What, you know what she was really speaking out of? Not out of her head. She wasn't speaking out of her theology. You know what she was speaking out of? Her emotions. She loved those kids, and now they're gone. You say, well, because she put all of her security in her children. Nah, that's true partly, but it's also true that she knew that God was good just like Job did. Are you hearing me? This book is hard to understand because it's a real book about real things and not just a theology book. You cannot understand this book by your brain. You've got to live this book. You've got to know this book is your life. I said it was for Israel, but it's for you. This is your life. This book is great because you have to face these same thoughts, fears, doubts, questions in your own life. I hope you'll be blessed this year. It's a tremendous story. I want you to know God is good. I'm going all the way to the end. I want you to know that when Job is done, he's not only going to praise God for all that happened, because even all the affliction, even all the trouble, even all the problems, looking at it, actually blessed Job more than anyone could imagine. He had twice as much when he was done. He knew that his children were safe up in heaven, and his present family was flourishing. And he knew never again, I'm going to tell you something, God never tests you twice. I'm going to say it again. I want you to hear this. God is a personal God. He's testing you because you told him, God, I want to be like you. I want to be perfect. He won't test you otherwise. But he won't test you twice. Once you pass the test, why? Because God always gives his kids A's. Because he is the one doing it, not you. You're not the one taking the test. It's God. You're not the one that's taking the test. It's not how good you are as a learner. It's how good God is as a teacher. It's God's promise that's on the line, not your ability to keep his law. God loves you. If you believe in the promises of God, and Job did, Job is a saint, not because he was good. He sinned. That's why every day he made sacrifices. He knew he sinned. Job was not a saint because he didn't sin. He was a saint because he believed God was faithful to his word, and God counted that as righteous. Was he perfected? No. How many know that when you have faith, you have to perfect it in love? Faith active in love. You're not a lover right off. You're selfish at first. God has saved me. Yahoo! You know, you're not thinking of others or anything else. Just woo! You know, it's just great to be healed, to be, you know, protected and be in the kingdom of God. Woo! You're just excited. I was. I still am. But I tell you, life wears you down after a while. If you have any, if you're not in la-la land in your mind, but if you're in real life, things happen that devastate you. But God won't tempt you, test you, try you beyond your faith. Did you hear me? Now, your faith is not in your faith. Your faith is not in yourself. Your faith is not in your brains and your beauty and your wealth and your health. Your faith is in God's promise and his ability to keep faith with you. That faith needs to be perfected. It's real, but it's not complete or finished until the fire. Israel today, I'm closing with this, Israel today is going into the furnace of affliction for her good, not for her destruction. The Muslims, I don't care if there's 2 billion of them, a trillion of them, it doesn't make any difference. God is not going to destroy or allow Israel to be destroyed, but there will be tests. There will be losses. There will be things that are unimaginable happening to Israel, but Israel will come forth as a nation, whole, complete, purified, perfected. And the church will be ashamed on that day when we see Israel turning back to the Lord and we realize, you know, they did more from their rebellion than we did from our own faith. We're going to be ashamed. We've had this gospel for 2,000 years, and we haven't done everything we could have done. How many know we're a little short of perfection? You know, we're perfect in our faith, and we're perfect in some of our acts and so on, but we are not yet perfected Christ-like in every way, particularly as a body, but also as individuals. We're not rejoicing at all times. We're not blessing at all times. We're not blessing our enemies. We're not, you know, the world sees us and they don't see any difference often. Every once in a while. But they wonder, they doubt, they fear. Damn, I think she did have faith. I don't think I could have that faith. And they become jealous of you. Is there really a God? Do you really believe in God? And they watch you like a hawk. Look at now. When you get in trouble, and then they watch to see whether you'll rejoice, whether you'll become afraid like they are, whether you'll become angry like they do. How many know you're not on the line? It's God. if God is a liar, we're in trouble. But let God be true, every man a liar. He's going to have the people of Israel return to him. He's going to have the church perfected without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and you're part of it. If God can do that, he is truly God. When Job was all done, we'll get to this later, he put his hand on his mouth and he said, "Oh my God, I don't know anything." That's what you need to come to. The point where you say, you know, I've heard about you with the hearing of the ear, but now I've seen you, experienced you with the seeing of the eye. I will never again be the same. This is the kind of religion, it's called experiential, where you're actually not just talking, but you're walking what you truly believe. Because God is true. God is faithful. You cannot make yourself perfect. I'm going to say it again. You cannot make yourself perfect. I'll say it again. The law cannot make you perfect. External religion cannot make you perfect. You cannot get there by your brains, your brawn, your faith, your theology, your church. You cannot get there. Only the living God can make you perfect. But he's going to do it through the fire. He's going to say, "I want to perfect this." And then he'll stick it right in the fire. "Ow! God, I thought you were perfecting me." "I am. You got too much me in you." He holds it right in the fire. "God, let me out. I'm burning up." He said, "I know, when you stop crying, I'll let you out." You know, and he's just burning up everything. There's nothing but joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you love life? Just the way it is, not fixed up. Do you love your husband? Just the way he is, not fixed up. You love your wife, your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, your enemies, just the way they are, not fixed up. Accept life the way it is. Just accept it. Whether it's the devil or whether it's God or whether it's your sin or whether it's somebody else, who cares? Get right with God. Put your faith and your trust in the Lord. He will perfect you. How many believe that God is perfecting your faith? He's perfecting your faith. He's not after you. He's not trying to get at you. He's not mad at you. He's not spanking you because he's ticked off. God is just keeping his promise. That's all. He's just keeping his promise. He said, "I will have a good people. I'm going to have a holy people. I'm just going to have them." Well, he better do it. I can't help him. I tried to help. I tried to help, but I did it my own way. You ever tried to help God out? "Now, God, I'm going to get up every morning. I'm going to be there bright and early, smile on my face, draw a little picture, put it on the refrigerator. I'm going to do this. I've got some scriptures, you know, and I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to always say positive things to my husband, my wife, whatever. I'm going to try to be, you know," it's nothing. You can make all those promises all day long. Not one of them will happen. At best, you'll be a liar and a legalist. At worst, you'll be depressed and a realist. It's not going to work. Has anybody ever learned that? Has anybody here ever learned that? It's, "My God, I can't do anything. I don't think I can do anything." So that is music to God's ears. "You mean you're going to quit?" "I quit." "Good." "Now I'll get started." Because he can't work while we're working. "What are you doing?" "I'm fixing it." "Okay. I'll be back when you've ruined it." And, you know, I don't care if you touch the marriage, it's destroyed. You don't even need a devil. You don't even need a devil. You do it yourself. Your health will go down because of you. Your wealth will dissipate because of you. Your friends will leave because of you. I mean, you are capable of the most horrendous, grievous things. Y'all know yourself? Because your mate does, in case you don't. You are not that neat. You're not that cool. You're not that great. God is great. God is cool. God's neat. God's wonderful. You keep that in your attitude, in your voice, in your life, everything will go your way. Everything. But only as through fire. He'll put you to the fire. He's going to do it. Welcome the fire. God, say these words, "God, I welcome the furnace. I'm not afraid. It's for my good. It fulfills your purpose. It totally defeats the devil." and amazes my friends. Because when you go through the furnace, he's not going to leave you. He will be with you in the fire. He will be with you in the flood. He will be with you in the sickness. He will be with you in the poverty. He'll be with you in whatever you do, because he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if he's there, you will not perish. You will come out better than when you went in. Not less, more, greater. Now, you need to be perfected. That's God's will. He won't make you do it. Not going to make you do it. If you want to do it, you just tell him. You just did. And I made you do that. But it's good. Go ahead. Trust him. Because he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of your complete, total, absolute trust. Job did. Job went through the fire. You'll see the trials along the way. Job changes his tune, by the way. After the first day, he said, blessed be the Lord. And it ends up where it said, and he didn't sin. In the next chapter, too, he'll say, and he didn't sin with his mouth. And in the next chapter, it'll say, and he said, I curse the day I was born. That's a little different than, you know, he started out. It happens to anybody who has a little legalism in him, you know. And you know, he began to fall apart where he just lost it all. That's great. That's when his friends came to help him. I love Christian friends. Don't you love Christian friends? All right, God is good. This is I'm telling you, this is one of the most powerful books in all the Bible, yet everyone avoids it. So after you're through, if you tell people, well, what you've been hearing in church? Well, we've been looking at Job for 40 weeks. Our pastor feels like God told him that. And we're just on pins and needles listening to it. We've lost half our members already. Okay, so God knows what he's doing. Trust him. Just rejoice. Look, nothing can go wrong. You got a God. He's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Everything's going your way. Everything is going your way. Everything. All things work together for the good. Everything's going your way. Say it. Everything's going my way. I can't believe it. Everything's going my way. It gets better and better every day. It doth not yet appear. But it's true. It doth not yet appear, but it's true. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these words. It probably wasn't delivered correctly, but Lord God, you worked these words into their hearts. Not as I said them, but as you intended them. Lord, let no one leave this place without hope. Let no one leave with fear. Let no one leave not knowing that you are a loving Father who lovingly is bringing us into chastening to perfect us for our good, the world's blessing, the devil's defeat, and your purpose. I thank you, Lord God, that truly the best is yet to come. You have saved the best wine to the last. And we look forward to this day, what will unfold. We're not afraid of bad tidings. We know that all things are working for our good. And we know that nothing, I don't care what it is, the devil can throw anything he wants at us, but he cannot stop your work or your word or your promises. You always win. He never wins. We always win when we're with him. You always lead us in triumph, Lord God, even at this hour and Israel's finest and darkest hour. You will bring her through like gold refined in the furnace 7 times. Amen and amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.